Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Cornerstone Advisors' very own Steve Williams and Sam Kilmer. We're talking about the 2022 Gonzo Banker Awards. Always one of my favorite ways to start out each year is looking back on some of the folks that really made an impact on the industry and some of the very unique awards that the folks at Cornerstone come up with. Always fun to have Steve and Sam come on and share what transpired last year and their unique takes on it as well. So hope you guys enjoy the interview. Awesome to see you broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have the two fine gentlemen from Cornerstone Advisors, aka Gonzo Bankers, right next to me, Mr. Steve Williams. Steve, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
Doing great. I think we can say it. It's getting close, but Happy New Year, Mike.
We are right on the edge of when to say it and when not to say it. But yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. And then right below us, Mr. Sam Kilmer as well. Sam, how are you, sir?
I'm great, and if we can't say Happy New Year anymore, can we say Happy Post-Festivus?
There we go.
Okay.
We're dipping into the Seinfeld files there. Yes, sir. I like it. So, well, great to see you guys and hope you guys had great holidays. And again, yeah, Happy New Year to you. And I think 2023 is going to be another very interesting year. But right now we're going to talk about 2022 because the 2022 Gonzo Banker Awards came out a few weeks ago. And this is always one of my favorite reads of the year. It's very entertaining, but very spot on as usual, gentlemen. So with that, Steve, I'm going to let you fire off the first shot off the bow here. Okay. So why do you guys do Gonzo Bankers? And then there's a big congratulations to a Gonzo Banker of the Year on the credit union side of things. So I'm gonna let you take the stage here first off.
So is it, why do we recognize kind of a banker each year or somebody or
why do you guys do the Gonzo Banker Awards each year? Oh. And then we'll segue into the credit union's Gonzo Banker of the Year.
Well, number one, we're so fried from working so hard all year long. It's time to let down and take stock on the year.
I hear that.
It's also for us, we just kind of want to record the history each year. And it's fun to go back and look to things we did and said 10 years ago. But we like to have fun, but we hope to get a bit of truth into what was the year really about. And what's fun is it used to be 7 or 8 of us when we started the company, but now we really have to dig into, you know, more than 150 people at Cornerstone and what they saw. And we do about 800 projects a year at Cornerstone. So to be able to get the intelligence from all those people out doing the hard work, that's the fun. We meet amazing executives and fintech leaders and innovators and IT people. So we try to celebrate them as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of celebrating people, because I know you guys celebrate both the banking side and the credit union side. So thank you for that.
Right.
And in this instance, let's celebrate the Gonzo Banker of the Year on the credit union side. And that would be Steve. Do you want to roll out the red carpet for you know who?
I think everybody has seen her somewhere. April Clovis from Michigan State University Federal Credit Union. Just a terrific, you know, I kind of would call her the St. Paul of the credit union movement right now. She's just everywhere spreading the word. But I think more importantly, the credit union is leaning into transformation. You probably are aware they've created an innovation lab. They've created a CUSO known as the Receta Group that's partnering and investing in fintechs. They're developing their own digital banking platform. They're experimenting with chatbots and robotics in new ways. So they're leaning into taking what's great about a credit union, but very much modernizing it and trying to stay very relevant. And I love the fact that not everything in the next 5 years that they're trying is going to be perfect or work, but it's that gusto that we really celebrate. Also, April's just her industry involvement, being involved with Filene and with Trellis and, you know, other organizations. She's a real leader for the movement as well.
Agreed. Sam, I see you nodding your head down there too. Is like anything to add on that one for April?
Well, you heard Steve mention a lot of technology initiatives, and not just, I think, what some people in the industry have called innovation petting zoos, where people, you know, declare that they're working on all these things, but it's really more show. What you see in April is real action and, you know, both something that whether you're a credit union executive or you're a technology executive, either one, you could look at that and be impressed.
No doubt. Well said. Well said. And let's get to some other celebratory folks that we want to recognize in the credit union industry. Some lifetime achievement awards that you guys recognize. There's five of them here on the credit union side. Mm-hmm. And so, Steve, you want to take the first three here? Because I think the first one's Benson Porter from BECU. You want to say a few words about Benson?
Yeah, terrific. A very, very famous story when Benson, of course, was running First Tech and then got nabbed and went up back to his hometown of Seattle to run BECU. You have to look, Benson took BECU through the $10 billion and then they never stopped. And they're about $30 billion today. I think most importantly, though, you know, the brand that was built up at BECU is probably one of the leading ones about being ESG focus or stakeholder focus. That really is a terrific brand that stands for community, that stands for all segments of the community from a financial health standpoint. And so I think the growth is impressive, but I think more important is now what BECU stands for in that market.
Agreed. Agreed. And then another person, a big favorite of ours on CU broadcast, Teresa Freeborn, formerly of Exceed, and then they merged into Connecta. So Steve, you want to add a few words for Teresa here? Because she had a stellar credit union career, but oh my gosh, what she's doing in the retail side now is almost as unbelievable as well. So yeah.
Well, we've always known that the hardest part about interacting with Teresa, just no energy there, right, Mike? It's just, you know, it's just flat. It's just, no, she's a fireball. And we just had to celebrate. Again, this is an executive who had a full-time job running a credit union, and I think orchestrated a nice combination with Keith and the folks at Connecta, but also the industry, you know, dealing with the Open Your Eyes campaign, the foundation, other things, always helping mentor female leaders in the credit union industry and trying to really encourage that. And of course, right now, writing a book about breaking the glass ceiling that's out there that I encourage folks to take a look at. It's a very personal story from Teresa. And then you go on social and she's there with Paula Abdul or something. So yes, with Smash and Tess, her and her daughter's clothing line, she's out there as well. So you gotta celebrate, you know, kind of if we could bottle that energy, we could solve all the world's problems.
I agree wholeheartedly. And the last one for you, Steve, here. And then we got two more, Sam, that you'll talk about. Travis, from Travis Credit Union, Barry Nelson, Steve.
Yeah, another great. That credit union quietly just kept going, and then became something so important in that community, in Vacaville and other areas around that. But the thing I got to salute with Barry is he was always very hands-on with his team, very real, authentic leader, and he had the driest sense of wit. So when you're working with him, he would give you a dig, and you didn't know for a nanosecond you thought it was serious, and then you realized he was messing with you. So just a really likable leader that I think his team could always just trust and relate to. And I was in some hairy projects with Barry and saw some really grace under pressure. So just a terrific person.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well said. And Sam, your turn here. One of our favorites on C broadcast as well. Kent Oram from Idaho Central Credit Union. Say a few words about Kent. What a great guy this guy, what Kent is.
Oh, a tremendous guy. And Steve's known Kent way longer than I have. But I've been around long enough to see his leadership. And I think one of the things that I'm most inspired by with Kent is, you know, he came from a technology and ops background, and yet he never met a stranger. He was always the first, you know, he would always, he just has an outreach sensibility. And really, as a leader, that whole team at Idaho Central has that outreach sensibility, whether it's their green machine that, you know, they sort of come to a town near you. They go where the people are. And I think they've had some, you know, really remarkable programs like Hispanic outreach and, you know, just very systematic. A lot of credit unions right now struggling to figure out how to grow digitally. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something that Kent and the team figured out. How do we go where the people are digitally and create systematic processes to do that? So hats off to Kent and the team there.
Yeah. Didn't they win like best credit union of the year for like 7 years in a row or some unbelievable number?
You know, kind of like April, it's that ability to transform while you're performing very well financially. Yeah. And that's hard to do. And so, they were number one on the S&P financial performance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, had more volunteer hours. And I think they did literally hundreds of community events a year. Mm-hmm. So that's something that really impresses us about the Green Team and the Green Machine.
Their secret sauce is working really well there in Idaho. So yeah. And last but not least, one of everybody's favorites here, certainly Chuck Purvis from Coastal Community, who's going to be retiring this year, right, Sam?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And here's the thing I love about Chuck, and I think this is consistent with Kent and what Steve mentioned about April, which is sometimes in the industry, you'll hear the term fast follower.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fast followers. They're leaders.
Yeah,
you know, they're oftentimes the first or the first to really do something. And, you know, right now in many of our credit union lobbies and other areas, you know, the ITM or the interactive teller machine or kiosk is sort of taken pretty well for granted now in the industry. But when Chuck got involved with it early on, it wasn't, you know, and candidly kind of controversial, you know, in the movement. And yet he was early on there. And then also, you know, working to form what they did at Coastal with Constellation. So across every channel, this is someone who was willing to lead, even when, you know, what they don't tell you about a lot of leaders is they have to take some shots, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anybody wants to hear the story behind how Constellation got started and stuff, that's a great story. I mean, we don't have time to tell it here, great story on how Constellation got. I mean, even its infancy, yeah, it's really cool to get Chris and Chuck together and share that story. It's really, really neat story. All right, speaking of neat, I mean, actually, that's an understatement here. One of our favorite, I mean, you guys have a kind of a newish section in there called In Remembrance, and we lost one of the great credit union icons, leaders, and John Pembroke from Q's. I mean, it's just pulling on my heartstrings right now. So Sam, you want to say a few words about John? I mean, just, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about the guy. So yeah, you want to say a few words about John?
Yeah, me too. I'm getting goosebumps too. And best two words I can think of are kindred spirit. Just a good soul who, what was it? The Mother Teresa quote, peace starts with a smile.
Yeah. Oh.
Never knew John not to have a smile. And the other thing that just really jumps out at me, right now I'm having a vision and I'm at GAC and I'm walking all, and then I run into John and we talk a lot about education because he was obviously Q's.
But that's his deal, yeah.
He was passionate about it personally. It wasn't just professional, it was personal. But Steve, did you, any other comments you want to make about John?
Well, a couple, you know, in those positions, like leading Q's, there's a risk that it becomes political, that there's, you know, one wing of the board or this or that. What I always knew with John, he was transparent and trusted, and he brought no drama to the table.
Completely.
And I thought that was so calming for the organization to have that. But again, everybody just trusted him. And so it was, everybody could bring out their talents around him because he didn't want to take credit for things. He just wanted things to move and work. My other thing, though, is being a Facebook friend of John's, and I loved when people were going around talking about their favorite albums, and we really connected on 70s soul music. That's something I'll always remember, our mutual love of Stevie Wonder albums.
All right. I can't say, this is one person where you just can't say enough good things about. So yeah, John, we miss you, man. We miss you and we love you. And we hope your family and everyone's doing well. So yeah, just a great, great human being all around. So, all right, let's talk about mergers now. Merger of the year. Steve, you want to address this one on the credit union side? Because there's a lot of mergers going on everywhere. So
yeah,
let's talk about the one that, that you guys showed.
I don't want to dance around that things in our industry sometimes don't have controversy. This merger of New England Credit Union and Vermont State had some controversy. Certainly Vermont State, there were some opposed to the merger, and I won't, you know, dance around that. I think both CEOs, though, I believe, had great sincerity for looking at this and putting it together. And so I just applaud them if that was what they believed was in the best interest of the membership, and really to create that scale and that opportunity to grow and compete in that market. It's not a market that's growing fast. So I think part of it is they want that scale to compete against the larger banks. And I have every faith that that integration will go well and the two cultures will come together.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and 2022 was, I think we did more merger stories in 2022. Probably you guys and a number of other publications did more merger stories in 2022. And I think that trend is going to continue in 2023 for sure.
And Mike, just real quick, we don't believe that mergers and scaling your credit unions takes away the member focus or the spirit of the cooperative. I think sometimes people worry it's going to become bank-like and it's going to become all about money. I don't think that's the case in the mergers we've been involved in. They just scale the cooperative spirit and what they want to do with it.
Yeah, that was the angle that we got to doing a number of stories was, what's best for the members here and can we handle the technology and all that type of stuff? Yeah, there's so many logical reasons, at least the stories that we did. So, yeah. So,
well, and if I might add, in many cases, especially the cases where you have a credit union, maybe not merging with another credit union, but acquiring a bank, they're bringing in new capabilities, you know, whether it's a mortgage capability wealth management or, you know, some other thing that they're bringing to the table to expand the way that they can help members who may have been overlooked. So,
yeah, that was one of the stories. I hate to go on a tangent here, but like Canvas Credit Union merged, I think, with Western Rockies, I think it was. But Western Rockies actually came to Canvas and said, hey, can you help us here? Because we can't keep up with the technology and stuff, and we need to keep these members. And if we don't, then we're going to lose them. So that was kind of the reason behind that one and many others as well. So let's move on to core deal of the year on the credit union side. Steve, you want to take this one as well?
Well, it's interesting because, what we saw there was not maybe a huge deal, but we saw a lot of the core deals go to Fiserv DNA during 2022. Mm-hmm. So you got to hand it that there was a lot of wins when we have a lot of heated competition between Jack Henry, between Correlation, between DNA, all great companies. Mm-hmm. We did note, though, that there is some concern about as Fiserv gets bigger with the First Data merger and becomes very payments focused.
Yeah.
There's a lot of concerns about can that service keep up? So we did try to note that in the awards as well, that we're truth tellers, and that's something of great concern to credit union executives right now. It's not the technology. Technology is fine. Mm-hmm. It's, are you going to call us back? Are you going to listen to us? Are you going to get to those modifications we requested? That's the concern in the market right now.
Yep.
But it was a big year of wins for Fiserv with the DNA platform.
Yep. Well done. Yep. And the next one, the digital deal of the year. I love this one. So yeah. So Steve, you want to take this one as well? So I think Lumen was involved with this one, right?
Yeah. And this is Lumen, as folks know, this is PSEU, been investing in a digital platform in the gang there. I think a couple things, a very successful conversion at BCU, which is a well-regarded credit union out of Chicago, and then winning the Citadel deal, Jeff March and the guys, great team. Both groups did a lot of due diligence. This wasn't just, well, it's a credit union owned product, so we'll go with it. It was really a win that was done competitively in both cases. So I think a lot of momentum for Lumen right now. And what we always say, as you grow and get busy, it's like a restaurant. Don't get so busy that the service level goes down. And that's hard to do. So we really applaud that they're winning and they're out there competing with some of the big guys in the digital market.
Yeah, it's impressive to see for sure. And one of my favorite awards here was that you guys came up with was the digital new kids on the block. And I've become a big fan of this company, and it's Typhoon. So Steve, you want to talk about these guys as well?
I'm actually going to let Sam touch on this
one. Okay, go ahead, Sam.
It's really interesting for us to watch maybe a few different generations of Typhoon. And so it's interesting how they're getting some new play from very smart CIOs and digital officers out there.
Mm-hmm. Sam?
Yeah. Well, beyond the cute naming of, are we suggesting that Typhoon is a boy band? No, we're not. However, I would say it's a bit of a blast from the past in terms of the brand. You know, this is somebody highly associated with mobile. That's not a bad thing for the brand. But just really hadn't been around for a while. And we've seen this with some industry providers that maybe either deliberately or maybe they didn't want to go away for a while, but they sort of went out of vogue for a while. Backbase sort of went through a period like that as well. But Typhoon is back, and they're getting a lot of looks, and I'm hearing a lot of positive things about them in the marketplace. So hey, the digital new kids on the block, we like to say all the time, Steve and I and the team, more options better, whether it's from established you know, names that you've heard before, or mm-hmm. whether it's from all new names.
Yeah. I think one of the things that you're seeing out there is folks are looking for, I want to be able to modify or customize or make it mine a bit, but I don't want to start from scratch and I don't want to end up in kind of a development nightmare. I think so Typhoon's another example of a player trying to give some of that flexibility with new technology. So we'll see how it goes, but it's great, as Sam said, great to see another player in there engaging, listening to credit unions. What do you want? What are you trying to do with digital?
Yep, indeed, indeed. And the next award we want to talk about here is the Smarter Bank Data Award, and that goes to QNexus. Sam, talk about QNexus for a little bit here.
Well, you know, for the last decade, we've been hearing about big data, haven't we? And big data oftentimes turns into big infrastructure project that doesn't end up with much outcome data. That's not a very concise title, but one of the things that we've always been fans of here is, I think we've even referred to it as small data. You know, how can you take small subsets of data instead of trying to do this real top down from the 30,000 foot level, is what can you boil up or bring up from the surface? And what we loved about what QNexus did is to take data specifically around loan-related interactions mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to drive pipeline activity. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, what are we doing here in credit union land? Credit. Right? We're loaning money.
Yeah, yeah.
We spend a lot of time working on these, you know, kind of out there projects, which are great for exploratory, but what about just incrementally juicing the pipeline and helping more members, mm-hmm. at, you know, reminding them of key offers and things like that. So this is a great example. You don't often hear about solutions like QNexus in the category of digital marketing. You just kind of tend to hear about it as more loans.
Yeah.
And yeah. More loans are welcome. So
yeah. And again, this is one where I can point to several of my clients where they're saying, you know, today, a fourth or a third of our new credit cards are coming from QNexus outreach. And so that's the kind of outcome-based stuff we like to applaud.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh my gosh, I had no idea that number. So yeah, so let's go to the next one here. Golden Cufflinks Award here. Sam, you want to take this one?
Certainly. And I think this award might have been, I've been at Cornerstone for 10 years now, and I think this award might have been around that long or longer, yeah. Steve, with Gonzo Banker. Mm-hmm. But this is the award that we give to industry provider sales engineers, demonstration specialists, who just give rock star demos and just do it so well. And more often than not, they just do it in a way that isn't just good storytelling, but shows that they care about the audience, meaning they're exciting, they're fun. Mm-hmm. And there's too many bad demos out there, and there's too many great products where, unfortunately, the care didn't go into the demo that went into the product. But
the
two award winners that we offered there were Joe Cody from Q2. Actually, I think Joe may be a two-time gold. Steve, we may have mint a
two-time
series of cufflinks for this.
Back in the archives and check.
Yeah, and you know, Joe's just really good at showing the storytelling around something really as complex as business services, commercial, and credit mm-hmm. unions. I mean, that's mm-hmm. it's not an easy thing to get your brain around when you're a credit union executive if it's new to you. And folks like Joe, and then also Alchemy's Nola Sedlizek, she is just phenomenal at, you know, just caring so much to be there and to be thoughtful about what the client or prospect cares about. And mm-hmm. when you're a consultant like Cornerstone, I mean, we've already been working with credit unions. So when we arrive, it would be great if whoever's doing the demonstration had paid attention to what the credit union cares about, and it's not generic. So be gone, generic demos, and yay, cufflink winners.
Be gone with yourself.
Yeah. And we have a lot of folks that sit through a lot of demos, and
I bet.
Probably half dozen of our team members said, yeah, Nola's great. So it was a pattern recognition where we said, we got to give a nod to all the great work she's done.
Well, let's hope they set the template for more good demos out there for sure. That it's really needed out there. So Authors of the Year Award, Sam, this one goes to you as well.
Yeah, so this one, this is a book that many of us consumed in 2022. It's called think like a brand, not a bank. And I realize that your listeners try every possible day they can not to think like a bank. They think like a credit union.
Literally.
But I think what these guys are going for here is how to think creatively, mm-hmm. and not how to come at this from the perspective of the back office forward to the member, but start with the experiences and the pains of the members, and think about creative ways, yep. not just in marketing, not just marketing, but in creative ways to address that. And Allison Netzer and Liz High teamed up on this one, and just a great read. I highly recommend it. Check it out.
Okay, we'll put the link in the show notes so people can get right to it and check it out as maybe a post-holiday present, or maybe a Valentine's gift if Valentine's is right around the corner. So perfect gift for Valentine's for that loved one in your life. So yeah, so the next one here is for you, Steve, the Taylor Swift, It's Me, Hi, I'm the Problem Award. Can you share with us what this one is? You piqued my interest, sir.
We don't play punches, and this is some great folks on our team, Tony DeSantis, who's been talking about payment changes in the marketplace. And then, you know, again, the regulatory side of, I just don't believe in my heart that community institutions really have much of a track record of doing bad and gray things. And we still have to deal, of course, with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So two things, good old Dick Durbin, you know, first we had Reg II, which is going to again impact debit card income. Again, what's important about debit card income, with that debit card, I get a branch system, I get a call center, I get free mobile banking, I get $50, you know, a protection plus on my fraud, mm-hmm. I get information security. We have to pay for some of that. And so the fact that, you know, that we're, from Durbin perspective, being positioned as a gravy train is not great. And now a new amendment in Congress to do the same thing to credit cards, which our payment experts will say will do one thing, it'll take away credit card awards because of the economics of the product. And then you've got Chopra at the CFPB. And what we saw in 2022 was not a lot of new regulation or policy, but a lot of saber rattling about garbage fees, about mm-hmm. algorithms, about UDAP being expanded to all services. And so it worries credit union executives, because we're not doing anything out there except fighting the good fight and trying to help members and communities. Yep. There is no recent example I can name of, you know, criminal intent or something shifty on the part of credit unions. Right. So to hear all this coming down the pike, and now we've got, you know, 30 credit unions roughly hitting that $10 billion mark where they're going to be examined by the mm-hmm. CFPB, and there will be another 30 or 40 behind them in the next few years.
Agreed. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting times for sure. The next one here, Devil's in the Details Award. Steve, you want to take this one as well?
I'm trying to remember who won that one, Mike.
CPI caps, CPI. Just
Steve. This is the one where it basically. Is it anybody who didn't negotiate hard on their CPI caps with all the inflationary movement over the last few years?
Yeah, that's it. We Cornerstone, we negotiate about 300 contracts a year, major contracts. And, you know, there has not been much inflation. And so people, that could have been a nit in an item. We always attack that item because if you ever remember your math or finance class, if you accumulate a growth rate over 5 to 10 years, it gets pretty ugly as a growth at the end. So now there are some CPI adjusters hitting some contracts that are much higher than our previous environment. So if you got a CPI adjuster of 7, that's mm-hmm. quite a change in quotes. And it underscores that these agreements and contracts and proposals need to be looked at very closely.
Okay. All right. And then the next one here, one of my favorite awards each year, is the Overhyped Tech of the Year Award. Steve, waiting with bated breath on this one.
Well, you certainly had the metaverse right out there. I think, you know, we, everything from Chase is the first bank to open a branch in the metaverse, and so we went out there and looked at that, and it's basically you walk in and then there's a sign that says Chase. So that's not that's not creating any new ground for us in financial services. And there's this technology's out there, but it doesn't, you know, replace banking and what we're trying to do from a multi-channel delivery today. And it was just one of those things that it was going to change everything. And we, of course, we saw what's happening with the Meta division of mm-hmm. Facebook right now as well.
Yeah.
We have to add there, I think, stable coins is another one. It can be said that stable coins were not very stable in 2022.
It was quite the opposite, actually. So, Sam, you wanted to add something there?
Oh, I was just going to add that there's not much to see in terms of bank branches or credit union presence in the metaverse, but Snoop Dogg does have a stash box there, if that's at all interesting.
Perfect. Yeah, well, put your branch right next to Snoop Dogg's stash box, and you'll be good to go.
And again, it's one of those things, it's okay to dive into technologies and start testing and learning. And give a hats off to Dave Tuo out at University Credit Union. He did a board meeting, board planning discussion in the metaverse. Yes. So I applaud stuff like that. It's low risk. It's a way we start learning. Mm-hmm. It was just so hyped, though, early in the year that it was going to, you know, change everything. And we're all going to kind of leave the physical realm and just hang out there. That
exactly,
you know, that's not exactly, for some it may be, but that's a long tail here.
Yeah, I think Ron Shevlin was talked about it as well. He's like, what are we going to do with the metaverse? How are you going to get a loan? I mean, you're going to get a loan? You're going to go up to the branch and get a loan? And he had a great take on it. But anywho, well, conversely, the underhyped tech of the year. Sam, you want to take this one?
Sure, blockchain. So while you don't hear us being raving fans of necessarily crypto right here, what you find when you really dig into some of the early blockchain use cases is they're very meaningful, and they sort of blow up the workflow differences between payments, credit, and the different areas of a credit union or a bank. And so you can, it's not too far off that you can see situations where loan covenants and contracts have automatic payment triggers that trigger a payment.
Yeah.
Or vendor service level agreements in a contract between a credit union and their core digital provider. When certain thresholds of service levels are met or exceeded or missed, that triggers a different payment stream. So that you essentially have, it's all tied together. That's very doable now in blockchain. It's just a function of when now, as a function, as opposed to if. So that's very, very underhyped, and we'd hate for it to get just sort of the anchor of the crypto experience, the speculative crypto 2022 associated with it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, I think that blockchain is something that will help change everything. That's kind of the foundation of all this type of stuff. So I'm really excited about this aspect of it for sure. So on to the next award here. This one's for you, Steve. The Generational War Award, and that goes to...
Well, it's all about workplace, right? What is what is remote work and what is the hybrid workforce? And you had a famous quote from Jamie Dimon during the year about workplace. And then you had our Ron Shevlin attack that in Forbes. what I'm seeing, I like to say, is everybody's trying to figure out the hybrid workplace. About 75% of workplaces are now hybrid. They're not all office or all remote. And I like to say, if you figured it out, you're either not telling the truth or you don't know you're not telling the truth. It's a learning process right now. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing, what's really important, though, is any time in the office should be intentional. So I don't force me to come to the office, sit in a cube and not talk to anyone.
Right.
And so there's a lot of design things going on. We mentioned April as a rock star earlier. They have a principle about be in the office, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it's connecting, collaborating, coaching, or being creative.
Okay.
So they have those rules, and they say, if anything you're doing involves those four guiding principles, get to the office, break bread, interact with each other. Otherwise, if you're doing your job, be accountable.
Right.
So it's those kind of things I think that are riffing right now, but it's very generational. And we saw all kinds of organizations create dictums. You will be back on Friday. And then they said, never mind, maybe next Friday. And that just went on and on all year.
Yep. Yep. Well, and those employees are just going to go somewhere where they don't have to go to the office. So yeah, see you guys. Let's wrap up here, because I know you guys have jobs to do. We appreciate your time as always. Some closing words to saluting the troublemakers. Steve, you want to take this one? And then Sam, you can wrap it up as well.
Yeah, you bet. We call the troublemakers the community banks and credit unions of America. As you know, I like to say we love them because they're not supposed to exist anymore. All the predictions have been we would be down to 10 big banks and it would be a game of scale, and we would be just like Japan or Europe or Canada. And every year the troublemakers come back and create, you know, new trouble. So Idaho Central 15 years ago was $600 million. They're knocking on $10 billion right now. You see that across America. And I think what we love about it is we believe in that grassroots. We think communities are better. Credit risk is better. Everything is better with that very vibrant grassroots network of financial mm-hmm. institutions. However, our whole thing is let's arm makers with new technology, new ideas, new approaches to stay relevant. And I think what's kind of exciting right now is we did see a decline in tech, and we saw a decline in fintech during this later part of the year. And so you're going to see more of an integration, I think, of fintech and traditional banks and credit unions over the remainder of the decade, more regulation probably. It's a time for credit unions to take ground. Terrence Roach on our team says, you know, adopt the new practices, but keep that same spirit and make trouble out there. Grow market share. I just think if you imagine modern institutions that are niched and have segments and support communities, it's going to be a great thing. And so we just like to see that happening.
Indeed, indeed. Well said, well said. Sam, any closing thoughts as well?
Just real quickly, you know, these Gonzo Banker Awards are all about looking back and celebrating, whether it's people's lives and their contributions or just, you know, people that have really taken some risks and stood out. And I would say if you're looking forward into what's going on in 2023, Steve mentioned our colleague Ron Shedlin. We just released our What's Going On in Banking and mm-hmm. Credit Unions study that's out there that basically tells the story about what's coming for this year. And so I'd encourage you to check that out if you want to see some predictions, including I saw some good thoughts and predictions in there from some credit union executives, including my good friend Nancy Roski over at Magnify Credit Union and lots of others in there. So it's maybe worth checking out to see what's happening going forward.
And then
we'll come back at the end of this year and we'll celebrate all over again. So,
exactly. So this one's kind of looking back on the year, and then the Ron and his crew are looking forward in the year. So yeah, but this, guys, is one of my favorite ways to start out each year. I always have you guys on to share your awards. And again, they're a lot of fun, but they're spot on as well. And there's good reason behind each of them. So we always appreciate your time. And again, congrats on all the success that Cornerstone has experienced over the years. It's well-deserved, and keep up the good work, guys. And I always look forward to having you guys on the show. So well done once again.
You keep up the good work, Mike. We love the good discussions about where the industry is going. I know we'll see you soon at some of those great events. It's good to see people back out there breaking bread as well. So we'll see you soon.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Mike.
You're welcome, guys. Be well. Keep up the good work. All right. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just I couldn't quit.